All right, guys. So we're doing joy. Tell us, like, what was your thoughts when you were like, let's do joy. I want the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. What? Do you guys know that song? You know that song?
Yes.
Yes. And when you sing that, it reminds me of my mom used to wake me up in the morning. And this is funny because, you know, I've mentioned that my mom's an atheist. Mm-hmm. She used to walk into my room going, rise and shine and give God his glory, glory, rise. And I was like, but you don't.
But you're an atheist.
And I think she just did it to be annoying because she'd go, rise and shine and give God his glory, glory, glory. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I don't understand.
Shout out to got a lot of joy out of that, waking me up.
I've actually done that to my children. But not
oh, is that's yeah. why.
I've done that to that's my
just, it must be a mom thing.
We do it on purpose.
It's like let me let you hate me. The joys of life. I love the word joy. It's one of my favorite words because it feels almost like it's like a mixture of play, like little kid energy, with like the sweetness of life. That's what that word means to me. Yeah, right. It's just like we here now.
All right, let's say our hellos and then let's talk about it because I know we're going to say all the good stuff in a matter of seconds because that's the way we roll. So
it really is.
You're like,
welcome to Motherland.
She's like, okay. Are we doing cards?
Okay.
I'm pulling a card. I have my cards.
Oh, your turn.
Oh, I have.
I have mine. I'll do mine.
Okay. You do it.
Cool.
Let me put
gimme.
Hello, gorgeous down. Okay. All right, you guys ready? Are we saying it? One, two, three.
Welcome
to Motherland. Oh my God.
Time.
Like everybody's looking. I counted 1, 2, 3, and you guys are like bright eyes like this, like nothing.
I tried to go slow.
There was nothing was coming like, out.
Welcome to Motherland.
We'll get it one day. We will get it one day.
You guys each give me like a welcome to Motherland. I'm just gonna cut it and it'll be like Onika going, welcome, and then Mal going, welcome, welcome to Motherland. Like, oh my gosh, I got our other intro back, by the way. The old one.
Oh,
I got
Queen
it back.
Latifah?
Is but it I good? Cut the yeah, it's, staff. Actually, it's pretty powerful. Like, I like it, but I get it if you're like, that's not a vibe. It's cool. She did a good job.
Yeah.
Three women. Welcome to Motherland is a podcast about three women of color who tell their stories.
Yes.
And it's powerful. Welcome to Motherland.
Queen Latifah.
I like that. You could have done that, Onika.
Onika, she's now doing voiceovers, everyone. She's now doing voiceovers. Oh my God. No, I loved it. Me personally, I loved it. But I was like, I don't know if everyone's going to like that. It was the drums on top of it, too.
We could play it on here and say, like, you guys like it. No, drink. All right, let's pull it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's ask them.
We should actually get some feedback. I like the drums. I'm not going to lie. It does remind me of, I don't know if you guys watched the new Battlestar Galactica that was on like a few years ago, but no. The opening was like, this voice, this woman like hitting one note and then all these drums just like drop in.
You guys had said you wanted drums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think when I said drums, I was thinking more. Beats.
Feeling drums. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I was thinking more like hip-hop beat, like lo-fi, you know, lounge, work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
But you guys asked for when we try to do the intro, you guys asked for the strings, and then it sounded like we were just an Irish thing. Yeah. Like I was like, this is
it turned into a funeral.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, oh, like it's weird. All right, guys. Courage.
Oh,
courage. So be courageous and stand up for your beliefs. I love Archangel Ariel. She's one of my, I say she, even though I know they're male, female, one of my faves. Mm-hmm. So, that's an interesting one for Joy. I don't know.
Yeah.
No,
I think there's a connection.
I do.
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. We'll talk.
Yes. There's this nun who says, this Tibetan Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron, and she talks about when we sit with meditation, that we sit with our heart and our heart opening. Yeah. And that's a courageous act to lead with your heart. So I think of joy in the heart as being connected. But yeah, I think it's a courageous act.
Absolutely. I used to feel like a lot of guilt for being so happy when a lot of people around me weren't. Like, and it's just important to show up as you, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I need.
What's joy mean to you?
I know that's what I was like thinking right now when you guys were like saying this, and I'm like, what does joy mean to me? And I think I can actually one of the things. I don't know if this is like it for you, Mal, but when I'm like clairaudient, I can hear spirit answering the question for me, where I'm like trying to hear it answer it for myself.
You're like,
yeah, and I'm like, shut up. I love you, but like. I think one of the things is, and I can hear spirit saying, like, you're literally trying to define it right now. I think that's the thing. It's that you guys are like, oh, this is joy. And I remember being a kid and being really happy, like all the time. Everybody was like, Isabel's always so happy, but I didn't have the best childhood. And I think it wasn't real. So I think now I think I'm trying to understand what that is and what it looks like. So, I totally believe in joy. I teach joy. I love joy, but like, I think I'm still learning how to embody joy. So
okay. I love that.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed of where I'm at. It's okay.
No.
Yeah.
So yeah. Happiness. Yes. We know there's a difference between joy and happiness. So I definitely can say like, you know, I do embrace happiness and, you know, having that, but yeah, I don't know. Break down joy, Onika. That's your thing. Break down joy.
Yeah, that's her lane.
You know, it's interesting. It was my friend Ryan when I did he interviewed me for a podcast. He actually called me a joy revolutionist, and I was like, "Thanks, I'm taking that. Thank you," because it made a lot of sense to me, and I think I may define joy maybe a little differently. And it's an embracing of my whole experience it is.
Yeah.
And this is, I think this is a lovely conversation to have after sort of the intensity of spiritual bypassing, because I think sometimes spiritual bypassing can feel like joy, right? We can tell ourselves that's what happiness and joy is, but we're sort of going around some of the icky stuff. So for me, joy is when I can say like, this is who I am right now in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I embrace that with my whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means for me. And as a Black woman, I think that's a really powerful thing to say in this world. I think for any person of color, any marginalized person to walk in joy is like a revolutionary act. You know, and to say like, no, you're not going to steal that from me. Like, you're not going to take it. And even a step further, disconnecting yourself from oppression and not bypassing it, but saying like, nope, I'm not even in relationship to that because I'm just me. And that I think.
I like that. I like that you were mentioning the, like you said, something about being whole. And I love that. Like joy is the wholeness. Joy is like, it's like a state of mind, right? It's the, no matter your circumstances, good or bad, you have joy. I think it's like, and I can hear spirit saying it's the continuous seeking of happiness too around that. It's continuously seeking happiness, even in the midst of whatever you're going through and whatever it is that you're at.
there's a lot of talk in that about Buddhism. And Buddhism, there's the, like the four abodes, and it's these four states of being. They call them abode, like a house, like places to reside your life in, and you've achieved enlightenment. And loving kindness, metta, is one of those. And then there's like compassion.
Yep.
And then there's sympathetic joy, like joy for other people, mudita, yep. which I think is, that's my favorite joy. When yeah. something good happens for someone and you get that feeling of excitement for them, like you just can't contain it.
Yeah. What? How do you say that again? Sutta?
Mudita.
Oh, mudita. Mudita.
M-U-D-I-T-A.
Yeah.
That's like Christianity. You have the fruit of the spirit. So in Christianity, you have the fruit of the spirit. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Faithfulness, yeah. generosity, and self-control. I think I said everything. Maybe.
Yeah.
I missed one or yeah. two. But yeah, you have the
yeah,
same.
The last one in Buddhism is equanimity. And I like that because I think that's where the embracing of everything comes in. When you embrace sort of everything from this balanced perspective, we can be joyful.
Damn. That's like saying I find calm in the chaos. It's like just
yeah.
this peace. Ooh, that's beautiful. Oh,
no wonder I'm struggling right now. I'm like, where's that calm in the chaos?
Joy, where you at?
No.
Joy.
I used to teach. I was afraid to teach about joy when I was working at Rikers.
Really?
I felt like maybe I shouldn't be talking about joy because people are really suffering and struggling. But then I was like, who are you to say what people
need or want?
Like, don't hoard that idea for yourself. Somebody may really resonate with it. And I realized that was my ego, like deciding for people what was right for them. And that was a real like eye-opening thing. So I think joy is also generosity, like and sharing, you know? Don't keep shit for yourself. Like, share it.
I think
damn.
You know, last week I remember us mentioning with spiritual bypassing, like the need of light and dark. And I think that's the same with like, you know, we go into joy and it's like, if we're going through joy and you're trying to experience joy through the midst of whatever you're at and wherever you're at, then like the other emotions like sadness or sorrow or frustration or whatever it is can only highlight the joy in your life, actually, in a way. Yep. It makes it an awareness to it. Yeah. I had a weird experience last night. Actually, I'm like sitting here thinking about it. So like you guys don't know, listeners, I've been having a really hard week. Like I'm just summing it up for them because you guys already know. And I've had a really hard week, had a really hard day yesterday where today when the girls were like, we're talking about joy, I was like, what the fuck?
Okay. Great.
But no. All right. I'm like, all right, spirit. I don't know what you're doing, but okay. Here's the cool thing. And I want to share last night. So my grandfather passed about a year ago in February. And the last couple of days I have been just like, I really miss my grandpa. Like he was my dad. Yeah. I really miss him. Like even now I can like feel it. And he hasn't visited me, not once in my dreams. Like I can see him, I can see spirit, but he hasn't visited me in my dreams. So last night was the first night he visited me in my dreams.
Oh,
we were talking about joy. And I literally like, I have tears.
I know you're making me cry.
I literally it was in my dream and I'm sitting there and I look across and he's like in this lawn chair and I'm like, grandpa. And I ran to him and I hugged him and I just held him like I used to and like kissed his cheek. And I was like, and he's like, hi, mija. And I was just like, oh, like I just loved on him. And I didn't connect it. Like, you know, there's oftentimes in dreams when you see spirit, you connect it and you're like, okay, wait, let me have a full conversation with you because I know you're not supposed to be here. I didn't
right.
do it in the moment. It wasn't until I woke up that I was like, ah, oh, like I got it. Like I got him, you know, like I know it's real. Like
yeah.
I saw my grandpa, like I actually got to hug and kiss on him. So anyways, joy.
That's so beautiful.
It really is.
Yeah. I have this same kind of, you and I are on the same wavelength a lot of the time because my grandma passed away a year ago yesterday. And I was like, grandma, come through. And it was maybe 2 days ago and I was so missing her. And she popped into my dream and we were sitting at a cafeteria table and we're just grubbing. She was like eating with her hands. She was so hungry. I was like, grandma. And I knew, I was so cognizant. I was like, you're not here. I miss you so much. She goes, I don't miss you. I see you every day. that's her personality in real life or in Earth plane. She'd be like, I'm right here. I was like, well, damn, Grandma. But I knew it was her because that's exactly what she would say. I was like, mm-hmm. All right, Grandma. Joy.
Joy. I love that. Yeah. I used to be afraid of joy, like really afraid of it.
Would you get in trouble for being in joy or something, or like, or afraid it would leave you so quickly?
No, I think, I think I sort of associated it with weakness a little bit.
No.
Like I used to associate love with weakness. So I think I was afraid. I think might have it, you know, it's so funny. I'm realizing that I had more childhood wounds than I thought, that maybe I was protecting myself. Like, maybe I was afraid to sort of be too happy because I was always waiting for somebody to make some racist joke or something. Totally. So I was sort of like on guard a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that carried over. So for a long time, I was icy. And so I hid that sadness and that fear with like an icy veneer, like a very standoffish, like you can't sit with me kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Turning that pain into
like protection.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a nice person for a lot of years. I mean, I say that like with full transparency and some shame and some healing around it. But like, I think a lot of it was because I didn't know how to be happy or love unconditionally, like, and like really love myself. Cause I was so afraid of what would happen. Like
totally
really terrified. And,
yeah, I mean, knowing your background, which you've been explaining in the past couple episodes, makes sense.
I get that.
You're like, I don't want anyone to rob this from me. So I'm just going to hide this shit. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because it's like I said earlier in the thing, and like, I don't think I ever had, you know, as a child, I was always like, people are like, you're so bubbly, you're so happy. But I look back and I'm like, was I though? Or was I just trying to live in my bubble of like, this is my safety net, this is my space, you know? But as I grew up and as a teenager and even into my 30s, like, it was interesting because people always would be like, oh, I didn't know this till later, that people would be like, Isabel, she's a fighter. Like, she's ready to like fight at any time. And it's like, I think I lost that bubbly child into this like, let's, you know, no, I did. I liked a little argument. I'm not even going to lie, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think going through it and then going through the marriage and everything else of that, like you mentioned, like that unconditional and having happiness and defining it. Like, I think in the last 4 years has been for me a reinventing and discovering of what happiness, what joy is, and what true love is, you know. You know, God bless my partner, because I think he's had to really slam it in my face. Like, you don't know what a healthy relationship is. You don't even know what healthy love is. And I'm like, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you don't. Like, you literally fight.
Yes, I do.
Fight. You know, yeah, talk about that twin flame like we did. I'm like, you can't see me. Don't look at me. But yeah, I think what you're saying is, I don't know. I really vibe with it. I'm like, I get that because I feel I was that too, you know? And I think one of the things is, as we're saying this, I think joy is one of those things, you know, because we came on going to find joy, what it is for you. And I think that's the question for our listeners is, what is joy for you? Because it's not going to be the same that joy is for me. Joy isn't going to be the same for Nico, and joy is not the same for Mel. So it's what it is for you. What does joy look like for you? How would you define it, you know, to the listeners? I don't know.
And like making sure it is joy, right? And not something that I used to cover up a lot of the pain with stuff, shopping or sex or alcohol or party, you know, all of these things that I would say like, oh, this is giving me happiness, but it was really sort of covering up. And it was, I think it was a journey to get here. And it's still, I mean, some days it's still really hard, but what I know now is that recognizing the challenge and being still going through that with an open heart is really powerful and empowering. And I think that's another piece of my joy, that I have agency over myself. And that is a really incredible thing. And yeah, so that makes me feel joyful. Yeah. And it makes me feel like I don't have to hoard myself, because I know that I am an infinite well of joy for myself and unconditional love and compassion. And I think I used to think there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough, you know, it's going to go away. But the more, you know, Buddhism, they talk about with these four divine abodes, the more that you embody it and cultivate it, the more that's there. And I think that that's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The more and more we talk about it, it's like joy is like every emotion mixed together and you're okay with it all. It's like peace. It's crazy. I don't think I really stepped into my joy until I was doing this work out loud, because people see me so differently now. I remember re-meeting people from like high school, and they would come to me for session in Reiki room. They're like, "You used to be a bitch." And I was like, "Oh, straight up." Mm. And they're like, "You look so happy now. Like, guard is down." And it just made me review a lot of like anger that I had growing up, and how that looked like for me. And mine would be lashing out. I would always be ready to fight. Kind of like you, Isabel. Like, always, like you touch me, one little thing would just set me up. Now it's like, I don't react to it. I'm just like, well, that sucks. I don't know. It's peace. Joy.
Yeah. I think it takes you looking at, you know, I'm listening to Anika, and I love, like, I really do think it's when we talk about, because you're talking about Buddhism, and I love the fact that, like, I think all religions have a tie-in to one another. Like, that's why, you know, I think they have a tie-in, and there's always like we kind of teach that over here, and we teach that over here, right? We can go a whole theology thing on why it's all like that. But regardless, it's all, here it is, right? So I'm listening to you, and I'm like, I get that, because, you know, like I said earlier, you have the fruits of the spirits and things like that. But one of the things I think too, like with this is, and I forget if it was you right now or if it was Onika right now, Mal or Onika, but like forgiveness, right? Having compassion, allowing yourself to forgive yourself, allowing yourself to forgive others, but also having that compassion with yourself and the acceptance of where you're at. I don't think you can have joy if you don't accept the present of where you're at. Absolutely. I think we're always trying to define joy outside of ourselves in the future moment. I'll have joy when, I'll have joy if.
Right.
But not in the moment that we're in at the current state. And it's like, no, you got to have joy in the present moment, which at times is hard. And you, like, it's hard. You got to have that passion. You got to have that self-awareness. And you have to have that moment of like, all right, you know what? I fucked up, but I forgive myself.
Yeah.
You know, someone else in the sense, in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great point.
I love that connection that you made with forgiveness and joy. Because with metta, so for our listeners, metta meditation is loving kindness. And it's one of my main practices that I both do for myself and that I teach. Yeah. And metta is always taught in conjunction with forgiveness. Mm. And it's not like forgiveness in the sense where you're like, I'm okay with what you did to me or what I did to somebody, but it's a cutting of the energy that can sort of drag us down and drown us, you know, into that abyss. That's such an important point as well, that the forgiveness is it's crucial to the practice.
Yeah.
And for me, rituals are a part of that's things that have been giving me joy too. Like in the morning, before I even step my foot out of bed, I offer gratitude for like waking up in the morning and thanking spirit and my ancestors. And my altar is in the hallway that leads to, I say hallway, I live in Brooklyn. It's only like 10 feet long. Pathway to the bathroom. But I have my altar there and I like it there. Like it's not like in a room, but it's because I pass it all the time and I'm always offering gratitude when I walk by it. And I think that ritual, that act helps me cultivate joy.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. I like that you wake up every morning, you just gratitude. I need to start practicing that. That's, it just feels good. It's like, ooh, slow you down real quick.
Yeah. You don't, what do you do in the morning when you wake up, Mal?
Nothing. I stare at the wall. No, honestly, I love this. I give myself 2 hours before I start anything. So if we're meeting at 6, I'm up at 4. Because my brain needs to catch up. It's insane. I used to just get up and just go. And I remember a friend was visiting from New York. And I was like 35 at the time. He was 40. He's like, girl, when you turn 40, you're going to start to see you're going to need some time to wake up. I'm like, nah. He's so right. It's like, I need time to catch up, ease into my day, and then go to bed early. Damn. But yeah. I stare at the wall for a good hour. I don't touch my phone. I just kind of like reflect. And then I start the coffee.
That's kind of a ritual. Breathing. Yeah, that's a ritual. Like that's a thing. It's not, you're just laying there. I think in an ideal moment, I like to meditate right when I wake. I don't like to get out of bed. I like to meditate in bed if I can, which has been really hard lately because of my partner, but I like to meditate in bed. And then I like to have my coffee, have my morning where I get to read a self-help book. I'm usually rotating some kind of self-help book out with my coffee. That's my
idea. I love that.
Yeah, that's how I'm able to read. And people are like, how do you read books? I'm like, that's my hour I need to just like receive.
That's dope.
And then it's like, okay, cool. I can go into session, you know, whatever. But I need a good like, at least a good hour to an hour and a half. I can't, you know. Yeah.
Same. Or my day's going to be really sloppy.
That was one of the hardest parts about going to Rikers was
early, right?
The commute though was a time for me to like adjust to what was going to happen. Like, cause I would push my wake up time. You know, when you're getting up at 4:30, you're really pushing.
Yeah. Out. Yeah. That's, like your wake up time.
I'm like, okay, I can get this done in 20 minutes if I have to, because it's just really early.
Yeah. But
now unwinding is so important. And I have been really enjoying that since I've sort of shifted how I'm living. That morning time is really, really precious.
Yeah, absolutely. Damn, 4:30 a.m. every single morning, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not a morning person. I'm not. I hate morning.
I am now. I wasn't. I am now. I wasn't, but I am now. But, you know, I haven't been getting up at 4:30 lately because I've been staying up later.
Yeah.
Because I think because I haven't had to get up at 4:30. So I'm trying to get back to that because I actually, the first part when the alarm goes off at 4:30, it's ugly. But once you're up, I love the quiet, especially being here, you know, in Brooklyn, and it gets so noisy to be up at 4:30 when you feel like everyone else is asleep.
Yep.
It's just, it's really I love it.
Yep. Cool. Yep. I used to be a night owl, so I'd be like up till 4 a.m. and then, you know, start my sessions at 1 p.m. And then my sister's like, try to flip it. See how you feel about that. And the morning time is more quiet than the night. The morning time. It's an interesting flip. Either or. Whatever works.
I love it. I love the night too.
Yeah.
I love alone time. I love being alone.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
You guys don't know I have
four kids. Girl, you got 4 kids.
I know you have 4 kids. So of course you love being alone. I mean, because you never are.
No, I'm not. They're all teens. And for the most part, they always want to be around and talk. So like, I never like... It's just like, oh my gosh, right now they're on spring break for 2 weeks. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm trying to work and I'm like, I don't know. It's a lot of noise. So I like anytime I can like not have noise, I'm just like, I'm all about it, which is really interesting because I talk a lot. Like I always grew up, people were like, Isabel talks constantly. Isabel's really loud and it's still loud, but not as much now. Like I savor my quietness. Like I savor it. Yeah. Hey, really quick, I want to bring us back to the conversation of joy and joy. What is the difference between joy and happiness? Because you guys cover joy, but what's happiness?
Oh, Onika's good at that one. You guys get it.
You're in my head. You're in my head because this morning
I'm not psychic.
In the shower, I was thinking about, you know, because I co-facilitate a meditation teacher training and we do a whole weekend on metta, on, you know, on loving kindness. And people were talking about the difference between joy and happiness. And I see happiness as a feeling mm-hmm. that can be temporary. And joy for me is a state of being that can be cultivated. But other people flipped it and they thought joy was the feeling and happiness was the state of being. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that works too. But for me, happiness is like a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's impermanent.
I see it like that.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think the thing is too with joy, and I definitely agree with what you're saying. I think that, and I love that like we're having this conversation because I'm laughing at something. I have to tell you what I'm laughing at. But I love that we're having the conversation because I think people see joy and even me as this exuberant, like, I'm so happy. Oh my God, I have this elated happiness, but it's not. It's just a state, like you said, like we keep over saying, like, it's a state of being no matter the circumstance you're in. And I'm like, okay, I can get that. Like, I can get that one. You know, it's not this like, or you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see it as this like, I'm so bubbly and I'm so happy, whatever. Right. And it's just a state of being where you're just like, no, I still embrace the, you know, like you're saying, Onika, I still embrace the mess, you know, during the chaos and I'm okay with it. And it's just like, oh, okay. That makes more sense to me. You know, I think happiness has its highs. It has its lows. It has its different states.
Yeah,
totally.
But it's, you know, it is a little bit more fickle. It is a little bit more fickle, you know, but yeah, I have to say really quick, you keep saying meta. Did I say it right? Meta. So when you wrote that in the chat, you guys, okay. So when I'm telling listeners before we come on, we try to figure out what we're talking about. Onika said, let's talk about joy. And then you're like, and then dash meta. Well, I'm like meta, like Facebook and Instagram, like the meta. Like I was like, why are we talking about Facebook and Instagram? And I was like, okay, well, maybe she's trying to say the joy with social media. I don't know. Like,
oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I didn't know what it was. I don't know. Did you know what it was, Mel?
Yeah. Well, because Onika would do these Meta Mondays all the time.
Yeah, Meta Mondays I did. After the top of the pandemic, I did, because a lot of people say like Mindful Mondays. Like that's a day for people to do their meditation. But I started during the pandemic Meta Monday, where we would do Meta meditation every Monday. I just had a Zoom, like I didn't charge for it. Just like, come on, let's just sit.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
We did a lot in 2020, huh? Like a lot of our practice grew.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I cultivated a lot of ritual.
Yeah. Because we had to. It was the world with the crashing. It's like, okay, right. We got to come back to our tools that, here.
Speaking of that, in 2020, tell me what's been the hardest moments where you've had to find joy or joy. Mel's like, I don't, that's a gross question. What's been your hardest moment where you've been like, I need to connect to joy, or I've had joy in this hard moment where it's like, where it's been gritty and nasty and you're like, I'm still just embracing it. I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah, you go first.
I mean, just because I'm like, was thinking about this in it, right? Cause we're talking about this stuff. And I know early on, I know Mel probably understand, like, cause I think I've talked to Mel about stuff. It's like, here we are. Oh my God. I was just going to say we're in 2019. We're not, we're in 2023. It's so weird.
Whoa.
That was crazy. A little time.
That was weird in my head. Here we are I'm having a whole download right now on why I was going to say that. And I'm like, that's trippy. I'm kind of trying to hold on to this moment. So here we are in 2023 right now. And I had said earlier in this year that I do not want to go in this year with anger or frustration. So last year was a really crazy year with me. I had to battle my ex through child custody, spousal stuff, like all this mess. You know, I got divorced, you know, what, 3-4 years ago, and then I'm still battling it. And in there, you know, he's with somebody nobody cares for, because dip toes in the family pond. But with that, I was like, I need to let go. Like, I need to have forgiveness in this matter. I need to just like have forgiveness. I need to find the peace, because I can't bring the anger inside, because then my children and things are affected, and I have to find the balance and have that. So Yeah. So that's my thing where I'm like, all right, I'm embracing, you know, I'm going to totally use your thing. I'm embracing the mess. And, and that's what it was. So like this Christmas, even though I wasn't with him, I was like, come inside the house, have Christmas with the children, you know, wow. You know, I stayed with years. And so I'm just like, okay. And then like, you know, my daughter had her quinceañera and I'm like, do you want to sit at my table with me and the kids, you know, like come and be with us. So it's just kind of these moments of like, all right, I'm trying to find that blend.
I don't know. Yeah.
Wow. I think there's joy in it because joy comes for me when I see everybody kind of happiness and getting really along with my kids and finding
generosity, embracing everything. Like,
Yeah. I have an example. I was letting it sink in when you asked that question. I'm like, it's been a trying year, past year. And I think the reason why, because I got really sick in February, like my voice shut down, is because my sister and I have been legally battling to adopt our nieces or extended family because they're not our blood nieces. There's a lot of, I saw a lot of people's intentions with hosting these girls. And I was like, this is not right. But I had to find joy in it because the girl, every time we have the girls in front of us, it's like, oh, they just want love. Right. But the world has been working against them for a while. And I had to find radical acceptance and all that with people's viewpoints on how it is to take care of a kid or what they look at as taking care of a kid. Because around those girls or the girls, my daughters, adopted daughters, a lot of people put dollar signs on top of their heads. Mm. Like, oh, I want them because I get paid $800 a child per month from state. Oh, bro. Now I had to find radical acceptance in that because people don't know. That's all they know. They're from the hood. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's their meal ticket. So I'm trying to find joy in being able to see the difference. I'm still right here, still doing that.
Wow.
The trip though. Because 10 years ago, I wouldn't even touch that shit. I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would never step in. But I was like, yeah, that ain't right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, and Onika would check on me, both of you. And you're like, how you doing? I'm like, oh, yeah, no one wins here. Really. You know, the girls get hurt. She's like, yeah, I send you love. Like, because you just get it. There's a lot. It's a spider web of people and connection. Yeah. But still enjoy though. Every weekend when I'm with the girls fully present, it's just, damn, they're in joy. They're safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Onika? So many options, huh?
Yeah. I think the one that two instantly come to mind, and I think it's both like when my dad died, finding joy in grief.
Well, that's a real good one.
You know, like, like navigating that. I will never forget the moment. I used to keep my phone on do not disturb all the time. It started because I was a yoga teacher and massaging at the time. So I was always in a class or with a client. So I had my phone on DND a lot. And then I just started keeping it on DND.
Yeah.
And it used to frustrate the shit out of everybody because nobody could really get in touch with me unless I chose to allow myself to be contacted. Yeah. And it would really frustrate my mom and my dad too. And, for some reason I have DND. And it's funny cause it was like 2 days after a very weird feeling that I had. And when I took my phone off DND, my phone rang and it was my mom. And I picked up the phone and she was like, thank God you picked up your phone. I didn't know if you were going to pick it up. You need to come home right now. Just come home right now. I was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I knew my dad was dead. Like I knew it. Yeah. But she said, come home right now. And I knew. So I was like, okay. And I kind of just knew. And then, you know, I called my partner. But I remember being in the lift going to my mom's house and saying, this is the moment that you're going to find out that your dad's no longer in his body
and you will never have this moment again. Mm. So be here right now.
Yep.
And I don't think if I had a very serious spiritual practice, I would not have had the presence of mind to do that. So I remember very clearly, like, the car ride and what the weather was. And, you know, I was just really taking everything in. And I guess you could call that joy because I didn't want to forget it.
Yes.
Because I knew the moment that grief really sank in, everything would start to disappear. You know, you blank out, you know, because your mind just protects you from the pain. Yeah. So I was like, no, just hang on to this because you are going to want to have this moment, even though it's sad, you're going to want it. So I think that's a really good example. And I'm grateful. Like, I am grateful that I know what it felt like and I could really be present for that. It gives me a sense of joy because in that moment I could realize how much I loved my dad in juxtaposition with I knew I was about to go into the abyss because I was going to say, like, yes, he's really not in his body anymore. But yeah.
That was powerful as fuck.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I felt that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got in the lift with you. Pretty in that moment, I was like, oh, damn.
You know, I think you made me realize, like, I get it. Like, I think in that, I remember when my grandfather died, because joy and grief, that's deep. That's deep. You know, I remember when my grandfather died, before he died, it was about a week long, maybe a little over a week long event. And I say that because I stayed at his house by his bedside for like the whole week. And I'm looking back, you know, like I said, he visited me last night. And I can see in those moments, the key points that he gave us joy, even in his passing, where he still, you know, he couldn't talk at points and he was losing his voice and he was in and out of both, you know, both passing through and stuff like that. And I just remember different like circumstances where we got to connect to that joy, you know, and and I'm just like, oh, like I'm listening right now. And I'm like, I'm hearing him and I'm like, I see you, like, I see what you did. I see how you, even in your passing, held space for us in those moments, you know? There's so many funny circumstances and stories that he would just come out of it for a second and, you know, say something or like do something. Like one of the brief things, it's funny. He was, we were all in the room and he kind of was in and out and we were playing all his favorite songs, all his, you know, favorite songs and just connecting and singing as women. Cause it was my mom and my aunt and my cousin and me, that's who was in there. And we're just singing these songs, you know, beautiful Spanish songs. And at one point he opens his eyes and he goes, Bésame. Bésame means, you know, give me a kiss. And so we're like, okay, oh my gosh, he said Bésame. And we're like, let's give him a kiss. And then I stop and I'm like, no, because we're playing music. And I'm like, no, he wants Bésame Mucho, which is actually a song. And
listen, Bésame.
That is so funny. Did everybody start laughing?
Yes. And so, and he was like, kind of, you know, like just kind of squeezed my hand, like, you know, like that.
Like you heard me right. You got it.
Yeah. You guys really want to know what that song is?
Yeah, yes. I want to know. Okay. It's dirty.
No.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
So your papa be bathing Bacardi, is basically, I mean, like a guy's memory about how, you know, he was with somebody, like, hold me and, you know, say that you're going to be mine. Like, say you're going to be here. And if you, like, if you leave me, you know, my heart would be through. So hold me forever and make my dreams come true, you know? So it just was like, oh my gosh, like, hold me close. I adore you. Hold me forever. That's kind of what.
Stop. You're going to make me cry. You guys are killing me with this stuff.
Yeah. But it's like, he did just things like, yeah, it's all about holding him and like having one last embrace and one last kiss and just remembering, like, and so I just think it's funny because I can see, like, oh, you know, anyways, you just reminded me of that when you were talking. I was like, I see where I got moments of joy in that. There's a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
He cracked us up at one point.
Yeah.
But I want to write a book about that because that was such a deep, deep passing story of passing generation and generation of women. like yep. literally, yep. you know, yep. things that were said on the deathbed. But yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. That'd be such a good
one. When you were talking, I felt like, did I read this? When you were saying that, I was actually in my head thinking like, I've heard yeah. like, yeah, I know. I mean, I know I hadn't heard it, but I felt like I was reading
yeah,
it. So
like, I want to say, like, here's the thing. And I'm saying this out loud as people are listening, because it's really cool. Like, I'm actually really like, I don't know how to put this together. In this, you have to understand mm-hmm. that me, I was raised by my grandfather. So I hold this weird line between being a daughter of my mother, but yet almost like a sister, and having this weird connection between old generation to new generation. So when I said last podcast that like, I've literally done this, like kind of switching things up for my family, there's been a lot of space I've had to hold. And so like when I got divorced, I kind of was stepping out of the upcoming matriarch role, because it was like people were devastated by my marriage and divorce, because I held such a, I was the one that was the glue that took over for my grandma. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yep. so now like coming in and still trying to step back into that has been interesting. But the thing was, on his passing, there was so much revelations that were coming between my mom and my aunt and me and my cousin, because my cousin was also raised by my grandfather, who was with my aunt that was there, and, you know, taking care of him, but reconnecting the history and the stories, and literally like on the deathbed of him, like, you know, telling me like, and telling us like, don't let the family fall apart. I'm handing it.
Yeah.
Like, he literally was like, this is you, like, you guys have yeah. this. And, you know, yeah. and we just, me and my cousin were like, okay, we're going to work this out. Like, we got it, you know? And he was just like, this is what is, you know, my expectations. But the beautiful like watching of his passing, of like I said, the music memories to the funny moments he would come out of it, and just like, oh my God, one time he couldn't eat or drink anything. He opens his eyes, because my aunt's like, Isabel, do you want coffee? Because it was like 4 a.m. And I'm like, yeah, could you get me coffee? And he couldn't eat or drink for days, guys. Like, it literally was like 3 days. He opens his eyes and he goes, I want coffee. And I'm like, we're all like, where did the voice come from? Right? My aunt's like, he wants coffee. And at this point, my mom was dipping the sponge in water just to wet his lips.
Right.
So, she hadn't put the sponge on his lips. So it was a fresh sponge. And she put it in the coffee, and she puts it in around his lips, like, oh, like, here, no. you want to taste it? Like, here you go. And so my aunt like gives me the coffee cup. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. It was a clean sponge. Like, you didn't do it. Next uh-huh. thing you know, they grab the dirty sponge and they stick it in my coffee again to rub it on his lips. And I'm like, I just stood there horrified, like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like, me and my cousin were just like, you did not just do that. Like, it was just like, of course, like, it was just, and then he would like close his eyes and he went back at it.
Yep.
But what yeah. that, yeah, was cool was actually as a medium watching the in and out of spirit take place, and mm-hmm. watching the people that came to like escort him. And I thought it was going to be someone yeah. else. His dad and his mom. And before he got escorted, my grandfather, my great grandfather, who I never seen before. So I saw pictures, but I never channeled him, came through.
Yeah.
And I got to sit down with my mom and my aunt and give him a full channeling, because I didn't know these stories. Oh, and he explained so right. much of my so grandfather's cool. personality and how and why he made choices and who he was as a child. And I just was like, and there was a woman that I thought was his mother. I was like, she keeps calling him like a certain nickname. And I was saying what the name was. And I was like, she's like, he was like, yeah, he was raised by his stepmom. So what was beautiful was later on in that day, he all of a sudden starts speaking Spanish, which he never does. And that's his first language, starts speaking Spanish. Yeah. And he's introducing us to them.
Holy shit. Wow.
And he's like,
that's nuts.
He's like, closed, his eyes are closed, and he's having this full exchange with us and him and introduce such yeah. cool stories. One day it'll
that's
be written.
Beautiful.
But it's cool.
Oh, please.
I know. Sorry. That's like off topic. Sorry about that.
No,
it's not please. Off topic. That's joyful.
It's not off topic at all. And I cannot yeah. wait for you to write this. I can't yeah. wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's special.
It's really cool. That's like, it's special. Pretty neat. I'm just like, oh, thank you, Grandpa. Like, mm-hmm. like, thank you. You know, thank you. And even to the way he mm-hmm. passed, like, it was just so crazy. Like, alarms didn't go off. Nobody was in the room. Mm-hmm. Like I had an alarm set every 6 o'clock. We would give him his meds on my phone. And it came to be six and I was talking to somebody and I look at my phone and I'm like, what? And I ran to his door because we didn't give him his meds. And I'm like, mom, like, and she's like, I know your alarm didn't go off. And I was like, no. And I literally handed my phone to my partner and I'm like, hold this. And it was like, he looks at the phone while we're in the, I walk in the room and I look at my grandfather and I'm, of course, I'm like, I look at my mom because she had told me like, you have to, as soon as you know. And I go, his time of passing is 6:05 or 6:15 or something like that. It was 6:15. I said, time passing 6:15. The body was still warm. And my alarm goes off.
Uh-huh.
He didn't put the alarm off. And I'm like, I told you it never, and it was, I mean, this was weeks that the alarm was like, you know, and
yeah.
I, you just took your last breath before we opened up that door.
Yep.
Because he didn't want, and it was
horrible.
I wouldn't leave his bedside for days. Me and my cousin did not. And my mom came in at one point. She goes, you have to go. Say your goodbyes because he has to leave. And he's not going to pass in front of you. You have to go.
Yeah.
And so we just, we said our goodbyes. And I remember me and my cousin just crying. And we're like, that's it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways, death is really, I think that's a really interesting perspective and finding, you know, joy and grief. I think that's a great example.
Yeah, I think it's totally connected.
Yeah.
Because death is a part of life and why shouldn't we
celebrate it?
Joy in that transition, even though there's pain there too. Like it's all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have had two funerals I had to attend in the past 2 weeks.
you did.
And very big father figures in my life. And, you know, I'm crying, of course, but a lot of the times I was finding a lot of joy and people are like, how are you ticking? I'm like, oh no, I've just experienced so much death in my life that it's just, I've learned how to accept it. They're home. their spirit went home. They're happy. It's like, let's celebrate that. So different perspectives. It comes with age and experience and all that. That's just beautiful to hear. I remember when my grandma passed and there was a lot of skeptics in my family, right? With what I do and mediumship and that, you know, they have a camera in their house and she passed, you know, on a bed, like a hospital bed in the living room. And when we rewatched the tape of her passing, you can see light from every angle, angels coming in. Like they're like, and people are like, holy shit, what's that? I'm like, those are guides. What do you think I see? And we watched her energy being removed. It's like on camera. And my mom's like, we should put a camera in your house. I'm like, you don't want to see what's in my house. I'm like, nah.
That is so amazing. That's so amazing.
I love
that. My yoga teacher talked about that. I did a training in yoga for cancer and chronic illness. And she was also a death doula. Mm. I think before you called it like a death doula.
Right.
And she said there was one time she was helping somebody transition. And they were with a whole bunch of people who I think like didn't believe or
were skeptics.
And when this woman transitioned, she said there was a purple light that literally just rose up that everybody saw and nobody could like deny it. It just like, and so she, and she was like, yeah, I told you like, yeah.
Yeah. I told you.
So funny.
And she was very matter of fact like that. Like that was her.
Yeah.
That was her energy.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, I just saw one go across your screen, Isabel.
Oh,
when you play this back, you'll see it.
Oh,
it just did.
That's
your grandpa.
My aunt, so my grandfather's bed was like in this room and the whole room was really warm except one corner. Well, earlier in the day before my aunt, one of my aunts that wasn't there got there. We don't get along with, long story. Anyway, she walks in and I'm literally like, I told everybody, I'm like, spirit's over there. His dad is standing on the left side of the bed. So my, you know, they're like, okay. Like my, you know, my mom and everybody, I'm like, that's where his dad's at. So that was the coldest part was the left corner.
Yeah.
The rest of the room, warm as can be. So my aunt, who's the skeptic and who is like, so against what I do, of course chooses to sit in the left corner. So she's like, oh, it's so cold over here. Like you guys aren't cold. Like it's freezing right here. We're like, that's the only part of the room that's cold. Like we're trying to like send her. And we're all like looking at each other laughing because she's like the biggest skeptic.
Yeah, she don't know.
We're like, hey, that's because you all up in that. That's where, you know, spirit.
And, yeah.
Funny stuff.
Joy.
Joy.
More joy.
Yeah. I know. I'm just like, so how can somebody cultivate joy?
I'll start.
Yeah.
I think cultivating joy starts with a practice of embracing every part of yourself.
Yeah.
With compassion, right? Like, I think we see parts of ourselves, but we beat up on it. But looking at every part of ourselves and saying, yeah, I love you. I love you. And I think that's where it starts. And that takes so much practice. So that's plenty to like just work on
right.
for a while.
Step one. Yeah. That's right. Same. It was that radical acceptance piece. Like
start there.
Yeah. Like acceptance.
I don't have anything to add on that. That's perfect. I'm like, all right. All right. I want
to
know.
Step 1 to step 100.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. What, you know, it's interesting how many people can't answer that question. Like, that's the thing, you know, when you're guiding people to heal and shadow, like, people can't answer that. Like, what makes you happy? What do you like? What is it? Like, people don't know.
Not a lot of reflection there, right?
Yeah. What makes you guys alive? What makes your soul alive? What makes it alive?
It's what Onika said. Is it mudita?
Mudita.
That. Like, watching others have joy. Someone pointed this out to me, a client, and she's like she created Bitcoin. She's like one of the partners. She was an older Indian woman, like 10 years ago. She goes, you get this weird sense of energy when you watch women have joy. I'm like, yeah, I'm a freak, right? She's like, no, it lights you up. Mudita. I love it.
I get that. That's how I get that. Like, if there's something about it when I think that's the thing. Like, I love my work because I love watching people find that aha moment where you're just like, you got it. You just got it.
Like,
I will go for that over. Yeah. And it's like, there it is. You know, I love watching people find that in them and in themselves. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
What about you, Onika?
I think for me, it's when I feel connected to source. And I feel it a lot in nature, and I need to spend more time in nature. Yeah, I know.
Did you, I know. Was that a hawk? What was that?
Like,
was that a crow that just barked?
No, I just heard, like, I felt like a bonk.
Oh, I heard like
a bonk. We've been telling you that bonk, that like, that's all I heard. Like, okay. I heard a bonk. But, like, being in nature gives me that connection, because I just, like, I feel at peace and oneness with everything. I feel it on even standing on the sidewalk. I feel it. Like, I just being outside, I feel the hum and the vibration of Pachamama, Gaia, whatever you want to call it. Like, I feel that. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially where you physically live. Like, when I was visiting you in New York, I was like, this city is alive.
It's a lot. It's alive.
Talk about masculine. Well, divine masculine and feminine is just alive. You can't sleep in New York in the best way. I felt so alive there. I was like, damn, I need to come back here every couple months. Just to, like, it's like
you have to have practices, though, to turn off, because I think it can be very overwhelming. Like, I was watching this documentary, I'll make this quick, on Netflix called Fantastic Fungi. If you haven't seen it, you have to see it. It's all about fungi and mushrooms and how they create life. And there is this sense of, like, they're underneath the earth, sort of connecting everyone and everything.
Yeah.
And you can sort of, I feel that. I don't know if you can, but I feel that energy when I'm outside.
Yep.
Just like, I'm making a motion with my fingers for those of you who are listening. Like, like just feeling these tendrils or like arteries or veins, just roots just expanding out. And when I'm outside, I can feel that.
I bet your physical touch, your massage is dope. Because you were just doing the hand motions of, like, connection. I was like, I bet people just leave the table when you work on them, huh?
I love that.
Healing hands. You know, it's funny. I was looking at, you know, color, right, with Reiki. And it's like, today was about joy. And I'm like, what is Onika wearing? She's wearing root, earth. You know, Isabel's wearing the yin and the yang, that balance. And I'm wearing, like, heart with truth, right? Yeah. Like, there's so much truth and love and truth. But it's just funny to see, or interesting to see.
Yeah.
What joy looks like. There's a
book called The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Tutu. I don't know. Have you guys read that?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
There's some really great points in that book.
Nuggets.
Yeah. So I say that because if you guys, I'm here listening, and one of the things that really stuck with me is, you know, the Dalai Lama's practice of like sitting, enjoying compassion for hours in the morning, like hours. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before.
I just said, yeah.
Yeah. Before hours. Before his day starts. And I find it, one of the things is that, you know, I'm sitting here listening, like, how do you cultivate joy? What is joy for you guys? And I know, as like a shadow coach or a spiritual intuition coach, is that, like I said earlier, is that people don't even know what joy means. They don't know how to cultivate it. They don't know, if you ask them what makes them happy, they don't know. Like, it's really interesting when I have a lot of clients that are searching for their purpose or their passion or asking why things aren't working out for them. I'm like, well, what's your happiness in it? What's your pleasure? What's your
death?
They don't know. I'm like, well, then why? I'm thinking, like, why are you chasing something you have no idea? But here's the thing. And I said it kind of in the other way the other day. I think, I don't know where it was when I was talking about fear, is the fact that we don't tend to understand the energetic vibrations of energies that we are not used to. So when you've been raised in trauma, when you've been raised in these feelings, a lot of us don't know the energy vibration of joy. Therefore, joy can be, we think it's fleeting. We think it's scary. We get overwhelmed in it. So what I tell my clients oftentimes, and even when I'm doing Reiki, right, or doing energy clearings, is that there's times where the spirit will be like, bring in the energy of compassion, bring in the energy of joy, to align the body's vibration or frequencies to that of that emotion. So that when they want to bring in this emotion, it's easier for you to make that connection. So one of the things I tell people, it's like, if you don't know the feeling of joy, take 5-10 minutes out of your day and just ask spirit, ask whatever, just show me the feeling of joy. Help me connect to the feeling of joy. Bring in the feeling of joy, whatever, however you want to word it. And just allow your heart, or allow that space to be created where you're just sitting in it without judgment, without ego, and just allowing yourself to make that connection. Because the more you practice making that connection, when it happens, I feel we're like, there it is.
That's it. I know it.
I'm not scared of embracing it. I'm not worried it's going to be fleeting, because I know it within me and I've made that connection within me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Defining those moments and then holding that page. Yeah. That's how we channel, right?
Yeah.
You need a baseline.
Yep.
You need a baseline. Yeah. There's a teacher, and I can't remember who it was, and I'm sorry to the teacher that I can't remember, but said that when imagining, I'm saying friendliness, but I when I think of joy, I think of unconditional love or friendliness or happiness. And this teacher said that unconditional friendliness is like the sun shining down on your heart on a warm day. Mm. That sense of just feeling held. Yeah. And she said, this is what friendliness feels like. Gosh, I need to remember who that was, because that is such a, I think, a powerful thing, Isabel, that you're talking about. I'm so grateful that you said that. I feel like I needed to hear that message for some reason, but just that you have to know what it feels like in order to cultivate it.
Absolutely. So
it's such an important lesson. Thank you.
Yeah. You get to define it.
I like that. Good one, Melanie. Exactly. Yeah. You get to define it.
And it's that channeling, right? When we create that spiritual dictionary, like, you see that butterfly and you feel something. It's like, what does that mean? You're like, peace. So every time you see the butterfly, it's peace. You are now channeling, right? Mm-hmm. Just creating your own gauge points.
Yeah. I love that.
That's something to talk about soon. Channeling.
Yeah, spiritual dictionaries.
You guys, that's so weird. I've been talking about that nonstop. I just did the YouTube video on channeling. I just wrote a blog post on channeling. And I have a channeling class coming up in April. So that's
Woo!
Yeah, because
what was the channeling class?
What was it?
When's your channeling class? Tell
it's
folks.
It's April 1st and 2nd from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Zoom, because here's my thing, and you guys always hear, and I think Melanie said it right when you were talking about just the butterfly and channeling, like everyone can channel. And I think we just think it's like this, oh, we have all these weird terms and thoughts. I don't want to go through that rabbit hole, but it's a space that everyone can go in. It's a space, you know, that you can be. So that's what I'm teaching, channeling and clairvoyancy, of bringing that in and how to get there for yourself. So, anyways, that's what I said. That I love spirit when it's like, oh wait, yeah, we just talked about that.
Oh, I know. And I just have to say, for people who aren't watching this, the way that Isabel lit up, like she just like exploded with light when she said that. Like that's so, so awesome. Like it was just joy everywhere. Joy was just like, oof, everywhere. That was cool.
I love teaching. Like I really do. Yeah. Like it is seriously my life. Like I love
it. I see it. And it's just beautiful.
And you know your light, very similar to when you just blew up about the channeling classes. You do that when you talk about your grandpa. You could just tell you adore him.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Yeah. Dude, look at her. She's like that joy, that little kid, right? That play.
Mm. Yeah, I can definitely feel
yummy conversation.
I can feel it more than when I can.
Well, it looks like, Isabel, you had more to talk about today with joy than you thought.
Yeah, I was not feeling it. I was honestly not feeling this conversation when we came on. I mean, you guys, you don't know. Onika was like, I'm going to wear, what's your sweatshirt say today?
Joy Revolutionist.
It says Joy Revolutionist.
Yes. So Onika was like, I'm going to wear my Joy Revolutionist shirt today. And I was like, I'm going to wear my sweatshirt that says fuck. Like, I was like, I don't have that sweatshirt. I actually have one that says Untamed Power. It says Untamed Power. But I was like, yeah. And they're like, no. I was like, no, like for real. I thought about wearing my sweatshirt that was like just says little cute F-U-C-K across the chest. Cause I was like,
yeah,
that's my vibe I was in. But no, I decided to do the Untamed Power sweatshirt today so that I could just.
Yes, sister.
Love it.
Shout out to her book, her first
book. That's your book, Untamed Power, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got some plugs for Isabel today.
I know, we're plugging Isabel today.
You know, talking about, what was it last week that we said we were going to talk about? What was it that you said? Let's talk about this.
Oh, it was imposter syndrome.
As you're saying this, I'm like hand over head hiding. But
oh god, I listened to that podcast episode 2, and I started laughing because everyone got quiet when I said we should talk about imposter. And then we all were like
busted out laughing so hard.
You're like,
I think if you guys watch the YouTube and you see you say that, you actually can see me and Nika's face on the YouTube going like, okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah, it made us really uncomfortable.
We'll get to it. We'll get there.
These
topics are reflections of us.
I have my session tomorrow to work on that expander archetype.
Okay.
So work on that space. What was really cool is that she had a session with me yesterday. We traded and I activated her light language. So cool. Like I love doing that. I don't really.
Can you do that with Onika? Cause she's like on the verge.
I know she is. Yes, we can, Onika.
You're on the verge of light
language. So I was activating her light language. And she goes, that was really cool. I saw you as a Mayan high priestess. And she's like, I could see it. Because the way I took her in and did all these things, she's like, I could literally see your garbs. I could see what you were wearing. She goes, what's interesting is you weren't afraid of your power. You just did it. Like you embraced it. Yeah. And I feel it. I'll be interested in our session on Wednesday to see where the disconnect was. She goes, because I could see it. She goes, you were in it in that moment when you were activating it. And I was like, oh.
Girl, the disconnect is your mother in this lifetime. That'll come up.
For real, though. No, let me tell you.
I'm not robbing your power, but.
For real, though. So, like, sorry, you guys. We're just blabbing. But, like, one of the things
I know
was, like, I have to go live. Like, I have to go live on TikTok in order to kick myself up on the algorithm. I have a lot of followers, if you guys don't know, on TikTok. And I was like, dude, I have to go live today. Like, I had all my work stuff. Who comes over unexpectedly?
Mom.
And just create chaos. And I'm like, get out of my door. Like, go.
We love you, Mom.
Oh, my gosh.
We love you.
I've worked on a lot. We've worked on a lot of stuff together this lifetime. So it is not, talk about some joy. Talk about, the thing was about trying to define joy for myself. Like, I look back and I'm like, I'm just making these connections right now. I'm like, 2022 was finding joy within myself and defining it for myself, not based on everyone else's perceptions, thoughts, and beliefs that they had for me. And really standing in that truth at the end of the day when everybody's like, come and steal at me after 4 years. And I'm like, no, this is my joy. It's my peace. Yeah. It's mine to define. And just because it doesn't get defined for you in your way doesn't make it less wrong for me. It's what I need to do. Yes. It's what makes me happy, not what makes you happy. And I think as a Hispanic woman, I wonder if this is the same for you because you're Filipino, Mel, right?
Yeah.
And I find that Hispanic women, especially mothers, constantly want to define for their children what works for them. Like, this is my perception on the way you should live life. So let me focus on you. And if you don't do it this way, you are completely wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. So a lot of culture Hispanics don't have boundaries and don't understand them when given. So a lot of, I work with a lot of women too, that are like, okay, I'm trying to make these marks in my life to cultivate this joy or to bring it in. But I also know that when I choose to cultivate it, then these other people are going to break off away from me. They're going to separate themselves because it makes them uncomfortable. It makes them, you know, doing. And I think, oh my God, I wish this brought up earlier because I know you guys are going to realize this. I think a lot of times that's the thing, that we don't cultivate our own joy because we're so busy trying to cultivate joy and happiness in others, which isn't our job to do.
Oh, it's never our job to do. Like, you know, I was having a conversation with this about this with a good friend on Sunday that, you know, our work is, it's internal, right? We need to do this internal work instead of external blame.
Yes. You
know, like we're constantly pointing the finger, but we need to be pointing the finger at ourselves doing that. Yeah. Hmm. For real.
Yeah. That's that healing. With Onika, though, when you said you were helping, you activated her light language. Can you like touch on that? Because I can see, well, I've seen it with Onika forever since we've sat. Like, whoa, you're going to start channeling light language. Can you?
She did it with her hands earlier. Did you catch her? She did it with her hands earlier. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about, healing hands.
Do you, what do you,
the precursor.
What do you want me to touch on? What light language is or what, like, how to activate
it? Tell her what it is. Because I think
you don't know what light language is, Onika?
No, I've read stuff about it, but I don't really know what it is. So please tell me.
Basically, light language is, love it when spirit comes in. Basically, light language is a conversation of the heart, and it's where you're speaking from the heart without judgment and without ego. So what it is that people struggle when they hear light language, and you hear it a lot, especially in social media nowadays, and I'm not going to really go with that. There's a lot of different ways to speak light language, and there's a lot of different frequencies. So it can sound really different for a lot of people, right? Like, I have a friend that when she does light language, it sounds like she's singing crystal bowls. Like, you know, it can be humming, it can be words. So there's a lot of things. And in these frequencies, your healing energy is getting sent out. So from the heart space, from a place of non-ego. So oftentimes what spirit does is they take away the ability sometimes, not for all, because I can understand light language and translate it, where you're not worried about the translation of the words that are being heard, but the feeling
it's
of
the transmission.
Yes, like, the vibration, the transmission. And so in this, you know, is what light language is. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love spirit so much when they talk, they're like getting lit up. So what I do in essence is go in and reconnect it. There's a lot of tools I use, but with sacred geometry and the light language itself to connect you, to help you activate that voice within you to speak it. Now, light language can look from speaking to using hand symbols, which you did.
Yeah.
To using seeing signs and symbols, which often look like old ancient hieroglyphics or writing. And light language is one of those things that you bring in. So when I activate people, some people bring them into their, you know, healing sessions or meditations or guidance, or some people just write them like prayers for themselves. And so that's kind of a summary of it, but it's a purity and it's a language that is spoken from the heart, that is literally pure love. Perfect,
like, talk from God all the way out.
And just, bringing that vibration, and you're transmitting that vibration out.
Do you hear that?
Siren. I just heard the siren. Confirmation.
Yep.
What's your question? I love Anika's face when she's thinking because she looks like a little kid. And I just like, like,
it's beautiful.
What's your aha?
So in the shower a lot.
You speak?
I'm just going to say it. Like, yeah. Yes, I speak. And I, it just, and it's, it, oh, it's in the shower a lot. Perfect. And I just feel myself because I do talk to spirit, but this is different than that. It's like, I just start saying things.
Yep.
And sometimes I know what I'm saying and sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. And actually last week, and I wrote it down because I was just talking about, I can't remember all of it, but it was about how I have to continue to walk in a path of love. And I was saying I, but I knew I wasn't speaking, like somebody was talking to me. And I kept saying, atata, atata, atata.
There it is. There it is.
That's it.
It was just like, atata. And I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was important. And I just kept, and then it left, but I never, and I tried to like look it up. I'm like, is this something? What does this mean? You know, but I couldn't find anything, but that like, that, and my hand kept doing that.
Yeah.
Like over and over and over again.
Yeah. That's
beautiful. I love
that. Yeah. That's
light channeling. There he goes.
Light link. There you go.
He said, all of a sudden you're going to be like, it's like speaking
so like
tongues.
Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. It is what speaking tongues is, or what people
used to be. Yeah.
Used to be.
Yeah.
But I think that
I felt really happy after. Yeah. Like I did feel this joy, and connected and really humble and
yes.
And like, I need to like just give, you know, like I can't, it was just like, I just want to give everything.
Yeah.
And I just felt like super, my heart was just super open. And I just was like, yes, this is what they say. Like you're here for, to just give all of this love just away.
That's all. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
Feeling light after. And that's exactly what it feels like. It's just this feeling of, you know, we talk about light force energy and wholeness, but when you speak light language, it is this like that's just great. Your arms are wide open. And it's just this very feeling of peace.
It's like blown a bubble. It's like, here's a,
wow.
Yeah. Here's the bubbles. Damn. Hell yeah. Anika. Cool. Yes. Yes.
Y'all are awesome. I love you all so much.
I love it. All right, guys. Any last thoughts? Gosh, what an interesting podcast. We went everywhere today, didn't we?
Yeah.
It felt good. No, I don't have anything. I feel complete.
Same. Okay. Same.
Cool. I have nothing. All right, guys. That's it. I guess make sure you guys like and subscribe. I want to say something really quick. Yeah. I don't have to be that person. If you guys are following us on any platform, make sure you go hit the little 5 stars, whatever it is. Give us a little like. And then if you guys have any comments or anything like that, always appreciated. And that's it. All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Out.
Peace out.